Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts. Hello, and welcome to episode 17. I am Lisa Rhodes. This is our fourth episode during remote learning and our final episode for the season. On behalf of Ann and Rachel, I want to thank everyone for an amazing first year. We wish you and your loved ones well and look forward to seeing you when we next convene. Today's episode is all about this podcast, how we produce each episode. Afterward, Ann will highlight digital end-of-year closeouts. And now for announcements. Please check your email for instructions on equipment returns and updates on end-of-year procedures. Also, don't forget to email your DLCs if you have any suggestions for trainings that you would like to see when we next convene. And finally, please email Ann, Rachel, or I suggestions for episodes that you would like to have us highlight in our next season.
Okay, guys, this is our last episode of our season one podcast. So thank you for sticking with us. We decided to spend this last episode talking about the podcast and what happened behind the scenes and sort of how we went from idea to podcast. So my guests this week are Lisa and Ann. So welcome, Lisa and Ann.
It's great to be here.
Welcome, Rachel.
So I thought it might be fun to get started, Lisa, by sort of telling the story about how we stumbled upon the podcast and how you twisted my arm into agreeing to do it.
Ha ha. Actually, it was fun. In March of 2019, you and I attended an EdTech Camp Saturday session, and one of the breakout areas was on podcasting, and two of the presenters had just returned from a national conference in Palm Springs and were passing a phone back and forth and saying how easy it was to podcast and wouldn't it be a great tool for professional learning. And I walked out of that session, walked right into you and said, you know what, we should podcast.
And what did I say?
No way. No way. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And no. And then we went to other sessions. And by the end of the day, you said, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe this is something that we should look at. And we had a couple more conversations about it and put together a summer proposal to plan out the first few episodes and just launch it.
So in the end, was my assessment of it being a lot of work accurate or not?
There is work that needs to go into it. And at the beginning with anything, it's something to learn. So there's a curve involved. We hit some stumbles that we'll talk about later, but not insurmountable. And I think really worthy because you're able to get information out in a different way.
And so part of it definitely was a lot of work, guys, as you will hear through this episode. I was right in my initial assessment. But part of what we did to break down some of that work was invited Ann to do the podcast, too. So we sort of all year long, and if you listen to the whole season of our podcast, you'll hear all three voices, but you're also going to get a better understanding today about the roles that the three of us play in the podcast so that nobody is doing a huge amount of work. There were times, I think, when Ann and Lisa were both doing a huge amount of work, and those times are luckily behind us and have paid off. So Lisa, do you want to give us an overview of the steps to making a podcast?
Sure. First, we needed a plan. We needed an idea and we needed a vision on what we wanted to put out and how often we put it out. As I mentioned, we spent some time last summer creating a rough outline of each session with a timeline. And before each episode, the three of us either met in person or by email to go over each section, the announcements, teacher interview, tips and tricks, etc. Then we recorded using the free version of Zencastr. After each segment was complete and edited in GarageBand and created an MP4, I then took the MP4 and to get it through iTunes needed an RSS feed. We got our RSS feed, fortunately, from our WordPress account. Our district transitioned from SchoolWires for our website to WordPress, and from there, we were able to get an RSS feed. Once I'm able to upload the feed, then everything goes into iTunes, and it becomes an episode, and that's how it's produced.
And it goes just that fast, right?
Yeah.
It take longer than others, guys.
Yeah.
That's the basic process, start to finish. And so one of the things Lisa mentioned was at the conference, she got jazzed about podcasts because of a specific tool people were talking about. And so one of our early hurdles in the podcast was, what do we do about hosting and where do we put the podcast? And so the tool that Lisa got excited about, we sort of turned away from kind of immediately because they host our podcast, so they kind of own it. And so we wanted to host here in Lexington and own our stuff. So Anne actually did a lot of work with our tech department early on about using our servers, but we ended up pursuing something different. So Lisa, do you wanna explain that process? Four hurdles.
Yes. So our idea, and it truly was in doing some research, and Rachel, what we didn't mention is that we did some consulting with free library services in the area and attended a meeting with Podcaster. Yes, actually. Yes. And from there, we learned that it was really important to hold as much in-house as possible so that we can control different aspects of it. And so I think some of the hard part with Anne trying to chase down the server at the beginning of the year was running and getting that RSS feed to automatically generate out of our server.
Yeah.
And fortunately, with WordPress, we're able to, it comes automatically with it. And also we can have each episode on our website that's held in our website, as well as our show notes. And we created a Google site for that. So everything we have in-house, we don't have any advertisements or commercials right at all. With a lot of the free software that's there, there are advertisements that come on. And plus, I think, Rachel, you, Anne, and I discussed just a little bit of our concern about, you know, what would happen if said free service went away.
Right.
And just having our listeners be able to find each episode and season in one place.
Yeah. So what we're doing now is completely free. Aside from Lisa, I think you might talk about it later, the microphone.
Yes.
But the tools we use right now are free tools. So that was the biggest hurdle for this project was how to host, where to host, and how to generate that RSS feed. Would you guys agree?
Agreed.
And so if you guys are thinking about a podcast, like reach out to us so that we can share more of the technical details of that. That's too technical for this short podcast, but get you guys sort of into a system that'll work in Lexington, because that was surely a big hurdle for us. So thinking about the podcast, we wanted to sort of wrap our podcast up in a pretty package. And so we were thinking about all the other things that go with the podcast other than just the words we say. So Anne took care of the podcast icon for us pretty early on. Anne, do you want to explain to our listeners sort of how you did that?
Sure. Someone introduced me to the Noun Project last year. And if you're looking for icons or to create a design, it's a great website. It's a great resource. You can create a free account and there are icons for everything. You know, I wanted a power or a settings gear. They have like 60 different styles of just that. And you can choose thin or thick. And then with a paid account, you can change the colors and then download them, and then I put them all on our website.
And so did you just use the Noun Project, or did you like put it together with Google Drawing?
I created the icons I selected the icons from the Noun Project and put it together, the final drawing, in Google Drawing.
Oh, awesome. Cool. And Lisa, subcontracted out the music.
Yes, I was concerned, and it's just something that I just have always been thoughtful about is where was our music going to come from? And in terms of branding, I didn't want to use anybody else's music, and I was mindful of being appropriate. And so I just so happened to have a couple musicians in my house. And my younger son, Jackson, had just gotten a couple of pieces of equipment and said that he would be more than happy to create our music for us and then gifted it to us. So we have no copyright issues with our music.
And then if you go back and listen to the music, you can hear multiple instruments happening. And he did all of that, which was really cool.
Yes.
So guys, do you want to talk about some of the key tools that in your sort of part of the project, what the tool is and what it does for you in completing the podcast episodes? Maybe start with Anne.
Sure. So after you finish your interview, we use a shared Zencastr account and I go and download the audio. And then I have a folder on my desktop that says podcast that has all of our pieces numbered. And then I use GarageBand to pull it all together.
That's awesome. And so GarageBand, you use on the computer version?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the things you have to do with GarageBand? Like, what does GarageBand do for you that makes the podcast sound good?
It's the placeholder. It holds everything together. So if you ever used iMovie or any of those creation tools, you can layer all the audio. You can split tracks. You can turn someone's volume up or down, clear it up a little bit if you need to, and then pull everything together in one track outgoing.
And so if you haven't used GarageBand before, the like simplest things that it does, it's going to cut off that like beginning part where I'm like clicking the microphone button and maybe stumbling on my words. It'll cut off the end part where the same thing happens, and it lets you sort of balance the audio so that Anne sounds as loud as I sound. You can get way more into it, but if you're intimidated by GarageBand, it doesn't have to be a big deal, right?
It's really not. It's really pretty simple for what you want to do. You can get way more complicated into it, but for a podcast and just recording audio, it's a great tool. And awesome. Then afterwards, I posted on, we created a Google site last summer, and after I finish posting and creating the podcast, I upload it to Google Drive, and then Lisa takes it from there. To upload it to iTunes, and then I take it and embed it into our website.
Awesome. So Lisa, do you want to talk a little bit about what tools help you sort of take it from there, and what also, like, what are your big, you've mentioned Zencastr, but maybe you can talk a little more about it.
So once Anne has completed GarageBand, she produces an MP4. And from that MP4, I'm able to grab it and I can upload it into the WordPress account. Tom Martelloni set up a separate account for our podcast that's part of the Lexington Public Schools website. And so from there, I'm able to upload the MP4 into the section of podcast within WordPress, and then tag it with different items for people that are searching for podcasts to listen to on iTunes, as well as the release date, the time, what type of podcast it is. As soon as I press send, if I'm doing it right that minute, it should hit iTunes within minutes and then show up. Or I can also schedule it for a later date, which I needed to do in November. And that's it.
Awesome. And Zencastr, you mentioned a little bit, that is the tool we're using right now to record. So what it allows us to do now in the time of remote learning is call people from other places. So we're all together in a virtual room, but it still records our audio separately. So like Anne said, in GarageBand, she can pull my sound out differently and tone it down if I'm a little too loud. If something happens in the background of my audio, she can clip out the phone ringing, for example, while it doesn't impact her audio track. So, and then it's the place where sort of everything is initially stored, where Anne can go and grab it later when she needs to. So those are sort of the big tools we use, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right. So in wrapping up, guys, I would love to hear your tips for teachers about, like, if you're thinking about doing a podcast, what should they think about? So maybe start with Anne.
One of the things that I didn't do at first and realized immediately was that you need to write out your script. Well, yours is a little different, Rachel, because you're interviewing people.
Can I ask? We have a Google Doc open right now, and I made some changes while we were all talking to make the flow better. So even during the interview, it is a helpful tool.
And so because I do the tech tip at the end, I always have ideas and I don't have to stick with what's exactly on my script, but it reminds me of all the bits and pieces of what I'm going to say. And the second part, I think, is you have to be really organized. I remember our first notes for what order things should go in when we recorded were on a piece of paper that I took a photograph of and I put in my notes so I could reference it until I got it all set up on my computer. And then in my folder that has podcast, I have all the pieces that go, all the components of our podcast are numbered in the number order. So that's easy to put together at the end.
Yeah. And we did like a big master planning doc, mm-hmm. which I think we'll do later a different way. But it has helped us like know when other people are recording the different segments because all three of us record for every episode. So know the timelines, know what date we're trying to have the podcast packaged and sent out. So your organization piece is critical. Yeah.
I think that podcast planning doc was super helpful for us also to shape the year because we could work what we had done, who we had talked to, and what our plan was for the year. Do we want to have a theme?
And we saw some gaps by looking at that. We saw some gaps in some people we didn't talk to and maybe we should reach out to. So yeah.
So the roadmap, we also had put all of our ideas on there. So we had lots of ideas for tips in the beginning that we could pick and choose from after because it was all in one document.
I agree.
I also feel it kept us motivated and it kept us on track. It's really easy to be very excited at first and produce. And then, you know, something happens. And for us this year, we had remote learning and we had a plan and we could keep going. And our check-ins every few weeks with each other really kept the momentum. And I think momentum is important.
Yeah. And that's a good point that we don't just schedule time to do the podcast. We schedule time to have a small meeting with the three of us to revisit what we're planning in the coming weeks and check on some of those problems we had that took a couple months to correct, like the hosting. So the regular meetings were really helpful too. I agree. All right. Anything else, guys?
I think that what's important is to have fun, you know, and it can be work, but I think that if you go back and listen to and see what you've created, and well, a lot of times when people are recording their face or their voice, you want it to be just right and just perfect. But you know what? Mistakes are real and it makes for fun listening.
Yeah, I think you're right, Anne, that this is a lot of work. I think it matched the amount of work that I had in my head the initial time Lisa asked me about it, but we were able to spread that work out to multiple people, which was good. At the end of the day, it's something that I really, really enjoy doing. I think that it's a great way to reach our teachers. It's a fun, different kind of thing for me to do in my daily work life. And it really does make me happy when we finish it. So I agree with you on that, Anne. Thank you. It's a great way to end the podcast episode and a great way to end the season. So thank you, ladies.
It's great to be here.
Thank you, Rachel.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back hopefully in the fall for season two.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Hi, it's Anne here, and today I'm going to remind you that for the end of the year, you should close out your Google Classrooms when you are done, return all your papers back to your students, and archive your class so that you're ready to start again next year. Also, please remind your students to do the same, and they should also create a folder for the year and put all their work into that Google folder so they can start fresh in the fall. Thanks for listening and have a great summer.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at LexTechIn10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.